We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we measure not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." And when I thought about what I was going to teach this morning, I've been thinking about it since about Thursday. And it's just a thought that's really stirred up inside. And it's not really, it's something that I've kind of hit on before, but it's not something I really dug into either. There's a pretty big problem nowadays, and we've all noticed it, and we talk about it all the time. And it's gotten worse in that we talked about it before, that we're warned about this falling away in the last days. And when we talk about this falling away, it's a lot different than what people think it is, too. I grew up in Baptist churches. I say that every time I'm up here because it's just the truth. And there seems to be something that relates to every time. Every time you get into something, it relates to something back in the Baptist church that wasn't quite correct. So when I got thinking about this, I got to thinking about all the preaching I've heard on the last days in the churches I've been in growing up. And there is a lot of preaching about the last days because every preacher has to be some sort of philosopher on the last days, or they don't feel like that their life is complete in the pulpit. There are some people that just simply don't understand it. But I do remember this one sermon about the last days, and that's what he called it. The last days, and then there was a semicolon, the great falling away. And that's what he taught on for two nights in a row. And so in this sermon about the last days, it was talking about the great falling away of the church and how church attendance would drop and how preachers would quit preaching. And it was just a total and utter reckless abandon of the Word of God and His principles in favor of the world, very evidently. But it's not that way. This falling away that's going on in the last days is not so much a falling away where it's a total and reckless abandon, but rather it's a substitute for what God actually has for the church. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning is something that I read actually this week, and it kind of sparked my thinking a little bit. And what I read, it said, "The Measure of Christianity." And that title in and of itself is kind of something that, you know, it's what they call a gripper. It's what grabs you and pulls you in and what gets you reading that article. And it did. I read that article. But every time when I was reading it, it was vastly different from what I thought it was going to be. However, it got me to thinking about this. And so when I went to look up just the word measure in the Bible, pulled up about five or six different key references, they call it, on that system, where it kind of branched out and everything. And mostly the measure was, of course, the measure of the ark and the measure of this. But in the talk of like measuring character and measuring Christianity, if you will, there was a few verses, mostly in 2 Corinthians. I was in 1 Corinthians reading this morning. That's where I messed up, I think. But here, it talks about the measure of which we measure ourselves and how the wise side of it and the unwise side of it. And so if you look away, you know, the falling away has been pretty evident in the churches, because it's not so much a falling away to abandoning God entirely to where we're just reprobate atheists. That's not the great falling away. Instead, it's the substitute the church has made to make everyone more comfortable. The great falling away of abandoning God and becoming atheists was the falling away that we were looked for and we condemned people for in the churches oftentimes. But if we look closer, we'll see a more recent problem, and that is that the world has always been falling away. And that's the definition since the beginning of time. In fact, it's a definition of worldliness. And so if we were to take that reckless falling away from God, we would have a lot to talk about, because that is what has been happening ever since the beginning of time. And so to think that the falling away from the church is the world having a mass exodus out of the church it would not be a big sign of the times, but rather a sign of everything that's ever happened ever, because the world has always moved away from the church. It's like finding a strand of hay in a haystack, if you will. And so you'll have plenty to talk about. The falling away that I'm talking about is the falling away from the gospel and the word of God and its principles. And as we often quote around here, the end game for us and the end game of the measure of our Christianity is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But how do we measure this? The measuring stick we go by is not what we lay out in books and in churches today. There are several books out there of how to jumpstart your Christianity, of how to strengthen your Christianity. And it's put the emphasis on there, not so much on what you are, but the label you adhere to. And so this measure that you have is laid out in these books and churches and the five-step programs we have there as to how spiritual you are and how well you walk with Christ. And it's measured by mostly three criteria, and that's when you come to church, how you dress when you're not at church, and how often you go soul winning with a church. And so you have those three criteria that they try to stick with. But what's the true measure of our Christianity? Well, what is Christianity? You got to ask yourself that first. Christianity is not a label that we slap on ourselves in order to identify with a group of people. Christianity, when brought back to the root term, is to be Christ-like. It's not a label, it's the way you live. It's the principles and the ideas and the commandments that you adhere to that makes you Christ-like. And so to say that we measure our Christianity by how much we go to church and how we dress and everything is superficial to what it actually is. Because all that, Christianity in a nutshell, is to be Christ-like. Christianity in their little nutshell is what you do to make yourself look better. So to be superficial about what Christianity is missing the point entirely. So their measure of Christianity, that like that article I read, what is the measure of your Christianity, is how far are you willing to go? But really, how much do you want to be like Christ? That's the true question. Here in the chapter, it gives us several ideas and examples. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some of that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And you'll see this a lot in churches where we take ourselves and put ourselves next to this church member, and because we come to church or don't do something this church member does, we are a better Christian. Yep. We take for granted that we have the Bible right in front of us being taught to us. And we choose to abandon it in an effort to make ourselves look better. This is not what true Christianity is. And I'll get back to my notes so I stay on track here. The worldly idea and mentalities that have come with this measure of Christianity has truly hurt us in that we have had that identity of you be you bleed into our churches so much to where we not only encourage it, but the church facilitates it in their own lives. The options of what kind of service you prefer or what platform you quote unquote experience church in are the changes they've made to placate the new culture of carnal Christians that have entered our culture. Because we've adopted that carnal Christian that we can now be, we now need more options to make these Christians happy. And we're getting to the point of this, but once you get in there and you're pleasing not what God says in the Bible your church should be, but pleasing what the people in your church say church should be, you've come away from the gospel. We've fallen away from following God's principles and God's idea for the church and replaced it with the idea of making people comfortable in our church in the name of, quote-unquote, winning more souls to Christ. Just like you were saying before, you pulled up the stakes and moved over there to make them more comfortable, but you've lost your ground entirely. And so for us to go through life and say that they measure themselves against each other is not really saying anything at all. Because that church has now come away from the principles and the idea of what Christ-like truly is, that we've lost Christ completely. Because we've taken Christianity and made it into a label instead of a way of life, we lose his idea completely. A God-loving Christian will never demand change from a church to cater further to their convenience. If there were a five steps to knowing you're not saved, this may be in that article where you go into a church not to find God, but to find comfort. To find a place where you can go where they coddle you and make sure you know you're saved. Most churches today will ask you, you know, if you go up to and ask them, hey, I don't feel like I'm saved. This, okay, well, did you do this? Well, then you need to go read these. Read these scriptures. Talk to God. Throughout my younger life, I struggled with the idea of salvation. And I struggled with it for years because when I was this big, I prayed a prayer and that was it and that was good. And then when I grew up, I was under further conviction in reading these scriptures that, hey, you know, I don't think I fully understand salvation, but I want someone to tell me. And it was the mistake in mishandling by people in my life that I didn't get saved sooner in life. Because I had prayed that prayer when I was that big, growing up, when I get this idea and this rumbling and this stirring in my heart about salvation, about the preaching, and when I was reading, they were completely thrown out to, well, you just need to go pray and talk to God. Well, you just need to read this scripture. It was taken for granted that I was, hey, I'm proud, you know, I feel like the Lord is leading me. And they say, okay, well, just go pray this prayer. Go this way. I was led in the wrong direction. Because Christianity was something we were. And once you were saved, well, you just don't back out on that. You know, this is what, I mean, you're my kid. You've been up there, you've been baptized. This is just not what you do. Go pray and talk to God and make it all better. We don't take responsibility for our children's souls because of the pride that comes with our label of Christianity. And because of that, we've sent several on to hell. Because once you're once saved, always saved is something that they put in there that goes with the prayer. Because it makes you feel better. Because it makes you feel better that your kids have prayed once or twice. But in reality, you're just slapping further on that idea of going to church for comfort, that you prayed this prayer, and they will just send you on your way and pray with you and say, oh, well, you've done this, you're good. You've taken this step, so you were serious. When really, you just push them in there. You win them, wet them, and work them. And that is the many slogans of churches. Well, we've taken, and that's where you sit, and because that's where you find comfort, because it's no longer preaching hellfire and damnation because you have not accepted Christ and you don't follow Christ and you're not interested in Christ, but rather now we just tell them how God's going to help them make it through that next week. We tell them what God's going to do for their life because of them, because they're nice people, because you came to church, because you gave an offering. We've turned it into an altar of Baal where you put stuff on there, it burns up and you're good for the week. Christianity is not a label such as devil worship and, you know, whatever you want to put there. You know, you can go Muslim, you can put Mormon, you can put Catholic, you can put whatever you want there. All that is service once a week to atone for whatever you're going to do the next week. Christianity, being Christ-like, is something you live out in your daily life. Not because you need to go to church and you need to feel good that Sunday, but because that's what you want to do in your life is please your Lord and Savior who did so much for you to save you. And so turning this in and coming to a church and demanding that they change how I want to experience church because, you know, if I have to come to church and be there at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, that's just not going to work because I don't get up till like noon. So if you could just record it so I could play it back later on Facebook Live, that would be great. Or, I get up at 8 o'clock, you start church at 9, so, you know, if I get up at 8, That gives me time to eat breakfast and sit on my couch, and I can still be in my pajamas and watch church. And a lot of people have grown accustomed to that through this entire pandemic deal, to where they're not going back to church. Where originally the church did not do Facebook Live, they've discovered that their members would rather do Facebook Live so they don't have to be there. But they can still say they were there. They've demanded the change to placate their own selves. It makes their lives more convenient. The measurements we use to search ourselves are laid out in the Word of God that we so willingly laid aside for a more agreeable way of having church. This is doing nothing but thoroughly damaging any chance our young children have at knowing God. And I've said this to several people, that we are completely derailing the next generation further by doing what we're doing in the churches today. To which they answer me, well, you know, God can find them anyway. So they acknowledge that they are derailing the next generation, but they won't say it. But they say, well, they need to find God. God will find them. God is more, and this is what they love to say, God is more than what we do. And that is true, and thankfully it is. God is more than we do. But what do we think is going to happen when we put them in a situation where there is no God, where we teach them about another God completely? How do they expect to find the true God when we're teaching them a false God? Unless they seek and find God themselves, they will not be introduced to God in a place where He is not present or welcome.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And so, what have we used to measure ourselves? Do we measure ourselves? Do we come to church and listen and then chuck it all as we walk out the door? Because, well, yeah, that's just what we do. It's easy to make church a habit. It's easy to make listening to preaching a habit. It turns into white noise if you're not careful. What are we here for except to apply the teachings of the Word of God that's sent from God through a preacher to us, something that maybe we'd never thought about before, and we're just going to leave it at the door? We have decided that we can measure ourselves. We have decided that we can use the Bible ourselves to measure ourselves without accepting the admonishment and the uplifting teaching that we're receiving at church. And just like we were talking about the other churches, finding other ways to have church, we pride ourselves that we still come to church and that we almost don't apply it the way we should. We have something here that not everybody in America has. We have a solid, unbounded preaching of the truth in this church. And I think we take it for granted because we've always had that. But being in other churches, and you would know, you've been in other churches as well, you both, you've been in other churches where it's not straight. And all it is a love fest in a like a AAA meeting where they make each other feel better about having to come to church because, well, God will bless them that week. And if we don't do this, well, y'all just better buckle your seatbelts if you miss church, you know. And they'll come visit you and make you feel terrible about not coming to church. And that's what people, I mean, we missed church one night because we were all sick. Like, we had the flu, puking. It was terrible. All six of us kids were, it was like a sick ward in the living room. We had all on the couch and dying, and it was nuts. Well, that, you know, by Monday, Tuesday, we were finally getting up and kind of dizzily walking around eating. Well, here comes the preacher and the deacon on our porch. Because we did not call them and tell them why we missed church. And they wanted to make sure that we hadn't backslid, and then they brought us like tracts and everything else. And like, we've been in that church for 6 months and that was it. And so he like come in, like was talking to dad, and dad's like, you don't want to come in here. So he like stepped on the porch because we were all still sick, you know. And he's like, well, you know, they're all doing it. And, but the fact is, he come to our front porch because we weren't at church. And made us feel guilty about it. When we wanted to be at church, like 100%. And so that's kind of where we're headed to. But now we cater, if they miss church, we just kind of text them or call them and say, hey, we missed you. Here's our Facebook Live link, you know, and just kind of go on from there. But how are you measuring to that? We've traded the measurement of the Word of God and used the measure of logic and worldly reason to rationalize and justify and the lower form of godliness in the name of winning more souls to Christ. We've taken the Word of God that we are to measure ourselves from, as it says in the Word, and we've taken it and altered it because people change. The world is changing. And we've chosen to take that Walmart mentality that we ought to keep changing with the world in order to stay in the world, instead of taking the biblical mentality of separating yourselves from the world as we are to do. And now look where we are. It says to separate yourselves. But I read on a church sign this past week that says, the church that stops changing the world. And I said, now that's profundity right there.
Clever.
Very clever. And I sat there and I thought, and that was the same day I read that article. I'm like, man, the Lord's just giving me all my material today. And it was like, bam. And I'm like, that is so wrong. It is shameful that that is put on a church sign of a First Baptist church. Those who stop changing, churches that stop changing the world. How are we to change the world when we change to be like the world? And we've altered ourselves so much that we've taken our Christianity, the Christ-like, and turned it into a label that can be okay with the world. Because if the world's okay with Christianity, then they'll come be Christianity. Because now everyone's a Christian. I was talking to one guy, and he goes to not the First Baptist Church, but another Baptist church in Poplar Bluff. And he was talking about teaching his Sunday school class. And he teaches I think he said the middle age. He said they weren't like young adults, but they weren't old either. And he's not really old. He's just kind of up there like 40s, 50s, something like that. And so he was talking about teaching this, he said, and it's kind of changed. He said, I'm kind of different from all of them. And he is. He's kind of old fashioned. But he said that I was teaching this group of, you know, between 30 and 45 year olds, because they have like 8 classes, that it's so different. He said they're 30 to 45. It's not like they're really young and really been integrated in society. He said, but this has been happening for a long time, to where these people don't sit there and listen anymore. He said, they come there for the donuts and orange juice that he brings to Sunday school. And he says, I do that for 3 months. And said, my attendance goes up every month. And then once my 3 months are up, it's gone because no one else brings breakfast. But he said, people will show up for that. He said, but when it comes to your teaching, they're on their phones. And the ones that do ask questions are not asking questions about the lesson. He says, like, I can't hold their attention like I would a kindergarten class with a coloring paper. He said, it's just not like that. He said, I might do better with coloring pages, he said. He said, yes. But people don't come to church, and this is exactly the way it said, it shocked me out of the way. He said, people don't come to church to learn about God anymore. He said, they come to church so that they say they've learned about God once a week.
Right.
It's for their own justification. Why is that? Because we've made it through the generations a requirement of being okay with God that you come to church once a week. Because we've turned that Christianity from a lifestyle to a label that'll get you to heaven. Just like a Monopoly card. Get out of hell free if you do this. Present this card at the heavenly gates and boom, you're good. And we've just made these requirements. And we've taken some off. I mean, you don't have to just wear skirts anymore. You can wear pants as long as you wear a shirt that covers your booty and everything like that. And you know, we've just done all this stuff to make it easier and easier. I don't know why you wouldn't be a Christian anymore. You don't even have to go to church but once a month.
You don't even have to do that.
As I say, now we got Facebook Live you can turn on while you're doing whatever you want.
A guy out here the other day told me, I don't go to church, but he's lecturing me on the Bible.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know why?
Sure. No.
Because he knows more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not brainwashed by all them people in church.
Yeah.
He's a Bible scholar, don't you know? I know one guy, he will not darken the doors of a church because he feels like it hinders his understanding of the Bible.
Uh-huh. I've heard that.
Because you're getting too many opinions Again, because there is no unity, there is no, and it's confused because everyone uses a different version of the Bible. Everyone likes to use a different commentary. Everyone likes to have their own opinion about what the Word of God says, to the fact where you're not teaching the Word of God, you're teaching your opinion. And if we would just go back to teaching the Word of God, he could come to church, I guess. He still might not, because usually people like that, they want their opinion anyway.
That's right.
It's, that's all they want, because your opinion conflicts with, which is the Word of God, conflicts with his opinion, and that's it.
He wouldn't go if Jesus was preaching.
Yep, because he don't know who Jesus is. He wouldn't even know if it was Jesus preaching. But we've taken it, and we've just twisted it to change with the world. And because it's changed so many times, you've got 85 people thinking 85 different things, but they're all Christians. And to the glory of God, they're going to go to heaven with all their friends in their mansion. They're all in it for the mansion that they're going to get, that he's gone to prepare. They have no clue about the glorification of Jesus Christ, and that he went to prepare a place for us, not so that we can have a nice house when we leave here, but so we could glorify him through all eternity for doing what he's done for us and what he's still doing for us every day. But the fact that we serve him because of what he's done is a foreign material. I mean, they don't even see it. Like that guy that doesn't come to church because of the Bible. He's firmly believing that Jesus Christ came for every soul on earth. I said, well, that's right. He said, but every soul will come to him because the Bible says that whosoever will may come. He said, I don't see anybody who wouldn't come. And so he takes it like that. Love wins assumption that everyone will see him at the very end and say, oh, come on over here, God. That's really awesome. But that's not what it is. That's his opinion. Because that's the Word of God. It's his opinion. It's the Word of... I'm not going to put his name out there. We'll call him George. That's the Word of George.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he adheres. And it is. It is nothing but what he reads and decides it says, and it makes him feel better about him and his lifestyle. Because that's what Christianity is nowadays. Mm-hmm. Judge not. So where do you measure at in this? Do you measure yourself by the, and this is a really interesting example, do you measure yourself by the Word of God, or do you measure yourself by the Word of George? The fantasies that you think up in your own mind by reading the Word of God and deciding what it says. The interpretation of the Word of God is given by God to man. Without God, I've seen a post on Facebook, someone says, the more I read the Bible, the less I believe it's true. Because when you're reading without the enlightenment and the Spirit of God leading you, it's just like reading a novel. I mean, there is nothing special about it, because he is not seeking. He's finding a reason not to believe. And when you don't have any reason, when you're reading the Bible for a certain reason, I read the Bible to get enlightenment and leading and more knowledge about God. And that understanding does not come to me because I know a lot of big words. That understanding does not come to me because I understand the context of the Scripture. That understanding does not come to me because I know I've been to church all my life. That has nothing to do with it. It comes because God communes with me in that I read His Word and want His will out of His Word. But when you read without any spiritual guidance,
Or desire to
know and believe, mm-hmm. then the more you'll find to disbelieve it.
The devil will help you in that.
Mm-hmm.
You
won't.
The Word of God.
Exactly. He will not disprove. Mm-hmm. He'll just disbelieve. And so we take that out. You can even, and I've read that so many times. And his post, it just made me so mad. You want to write on there, you're an idiot. Because he's not doing it right. Mm-hmm. Now that is not love at all. And I did not do it. But it is just not, it just makes you say, are you stupid? When you come into this reading the Bible, just so you don't have to believe the Bible, I believe that is the upper crust form of ignorance there is in the world. Because you're damning your own soul. And it's very, very much hurtful. And then you got these quote-unquote Christian singers still singing quote-unquote Christian songs saying, I just don't believe God's there anymore. I'll sing it because people pay for this. because that's where I make my money.
Yeah.
Using the name of God for filthy lucre.
Yeah.
But he doesn't believe it, and he's open. And he gets all his support from his other quote-unquote Christian singers and fans that, well, it's okay, I hope you come around. But until then, I'll keep listening to your blaspheming little mouth. It's not even right. A direct quote is, I'm open to the idea that God is there. And I'd prefer it if he was. I suspect that if he is there, he's very different from anything I was ever taught. And that is the absolute core of it right there. He was taught a God that is not real. Because I read how he grew up. He was taught a God of mercy and love, and that was it. And a God of mercy and love wouldn't care if you thought he was there or not. He's just going to accept you anyway.
Yeah.
He was not taught a God of wrath and an avengeful God, one that will be coming back. He was just taught a God that will accept you the way you are, without any consequence, without any repentance, without any recompense for your sin. It's just the way it is. So teaching your kids this measure of Christianity that I read about this week, what expects you to have any different result from that? Those who measure themselves by themselves are not wise. But there is never a time where you measure yourself by the Word of God and come up equal. But it does drive you to do better, learn more, do more, be more, like the original Christianity definition, to be Christ-like. What do you measure yourself by? These standards or the standards of the Word of God, as we are to?
Yeah.